One of the most remarkable stories in the history of mathematics was the encounter between G. H. Hardy and Srinivasa Ramanujan. In 1913, when Hardy was a renowned mathematician at Trinity College in Cambridge, England, he received a strange letter from a young man in India.
Dear sir, I beg to introduce myself to you as a clerk in the accounts department of the Port Trust office at Madras.
The clerk said he had no university education and no formal training in mathematics, but he'd written out a series of numbers, letters, and symbols, 9 pages of dense mathematics, and asked Hardy to look over the material.
Being inexperienced, I would very highly value any advice you give me, requesting to be excused for the trouble I give you, S. Ramanujan.
Hardy was so intrigued that he invited Ramanujan to come to Cambridge University. And the rest, as they say, is history. Today, Ramanujan is considered one of the century's true geniuses. The uneasy friendship between Hardy and Ramanujan is the subject of David Levitt's novel, The Indian Clerk. I asked Levitt why Hardy even bothered to read that first letter from the young clerk, which had all the earmarks of a crank letter.
The answer to that puzzle lies in Hardy himself. He was the child of schoolteachers who grew up kind of in the vicinity of the British upper class, but not really a part of it. However, the fact that his parents were schoolteachers meant that he had access to the best kind of education available in the UK. So by the time Ramanujan came around, when Hardy was 37 years old, he was very, very well established. He was very much an insider. He was very much part of the establishment. But in many ways, he never felt himself to be an insider. There were certain aspects of his nature and character that led him to always feel a little bit outside of things. One was the fact that he was, at that point, in a very quiet way, homosexual, and he was an atheist, and a very, if it's not too much of an oxymoron, a very devout atheist. He was the Christopher Hitchens of his age. And as an atheist, he necessarily put himself in a position of opposition to how the university operated.
So in some ways, he was prepared to recognize someone like Ramanujan. He would see in Ramanujan some of himself.
Absolutely. I think he saw a lot of himself, and I think he had a great impulse to rescue Ramanujan. The idea that there was this genius, as Hardy saw it, languishing in a backwater without the benefits that Cambridge could offer him, without the nourishment that would allow him to thrive, disturbed Hardy tremendously, and he took it upon himself to save Ramanujan.
It's important to understand what was going through Hardy's mind and also what he saw in Ramanujan. I don't think most of us are going to be able to grasp the kind of higher mathematics that they're talking about, but Hardy thought it was possible to explain those. The thing he cared most about was the Riemann hypothesis. Can you explain what that is?
The Riemann hypothesis is still considered by most mathematicians, I would say, the most important unsolved problem in mathematics. It concerns the distribution of the prime numbers. It had long been proven that there were an infinity of prime numbers, but what Hardy and a lot of other mathematicians wanted to figure out was whether there was a method or a means by which the prime numbers could, as it were, be predicted.
Just as a reminder, a prime number is a number that can be divided only by itself and one.
Exactly. And as you look at the prime numbers as they move toward infinity, there are fewer and fewer. They're more widely spaced apart. But there doesn't, at least on the surface, appear to be any order to their distribution. The Riemann hypothesis, through a number of very complex mathematical steps, sought to recognize an order. And so a lot of mathematicians saw proving the Riemann hypothesis as kind of the holy grail of mathematics. Whoever proved the Riemann hypothesis would be, as Hardy would put it, immortal.
I think it's kind of fascinating that you put it that way, and I think it's entirely accurate, the holy grail of mathematics. Because part of what's going on in the story that you're telling and in the real story of Ramanujan is this taint of magic that goes into an otherwise purely scientific discussion.
Absolutely. Ramanujan, in contrast to Hardy, who was an atheist, was a devout Hindu Brahmin who claimed that the mathematical discoveries that he made came to him in dreams through the agency of a goddess named Namagiri, the goddess his family worshipped. At one point, he described it very poetically. He said that the goddess wrote the equations on his tongue. And this was a very difficult idea for Hardy to accept because it went so against his atheism. On the other hand, Hardy, I think, recognized the mystical aspect of mathematics, even if he resisted describing that mysticism as something religious or something having to do with a god.
In fact, as you put it, as you tell the story anyway, Hardy had a particularly poor vicar to introduce him to the whole notion of religion, and from then on would have nothing to do with it. It didn't prepare him at all for Ramanujan's spiritual connection.
And I think Hardy put a lot of energy into trying to convince himself and others that Ramanujan's claims to spirituality were entirely fabricated, and that he simply said that he made his discoveries through the agency of the goddess in order to placate his family and particularly his mother, whereas in reality, he was very, very rational.
It's important to put this at a time and a place, too. I mean, they were at Cambridge, and this is at a time immediately preceding the First World War.
Yes. Hardy received the letter in 1913, and Ramanujan arrived in 1914. He arrived about 2 months before the war began. So it was a moment, a very fraught, but also a very culturally rich moment in the history of England. At the very end of the Edwardian period, when a lot of English people were really trying to throw off the shackles of Victorianism and, in some sense, rebel against the sort of rigidities that had defined English life up until that time.
And he is at Cambridge. Hardy is at Cambridge.
Hardy is at Trinity College, Cambridge, as a fellow.
And Ramanujan comes, and some of his colleagues there are Bertrand Russell, Wittgenstein, John
yes.
Maynard Keynes. These are some of the great names in English intellectual circles.
Exactly. So it was a sort of extraordinary moment to be at Cambridge. All the men you've just named were members of a secret society called the Apostles.
What would you say was the general feeling of this group of men, the members of the Apostles, toward religion? What would Ramanujan have found in trying to discuss the world with these men?
Well, I think that had Ramanujan had the opportunity, which he didn't very often, he would have found that they were very open to his ideas and very interested in them, because most of the Apostles, and in particular G.E. Moore, who was really the leader of the group, were very, very preoccupied with the philosophy of religion and in a sense with trying to change or in some ways make Christianity evolve. That's an interesting question, and that leads into what was probably the most difficult decision I had to make in the book, which was really whether or not to try to tell any of the story from Ramanujan's point of view. To do so would have involved trying to understand the world as he saw it, and that was something that I didn't feel as a Westerner and as an American I was really able to do. I felt that I could occupy and become Hardy, but I never felt that I could really become Ramanujan. So I elected to tell the story mostly from Hardy's point of view, but to consider Ramanujan as a stranger who enters into this very established world.
And when it came time to approach Ramanujan's cultural background, you didn't feel, well, maybe honestly, you can't go into culture as deeply as you can go into science.
Well, the problem for me in entering into Ramanujan's head was this fundamental question of what he actually believed versus what he claim to believe. But that in and of itself is a very Western question, because in a sense the idea of belief, as we use the word in Western culture, is much less important in Hindu culture, as I've come to understand it. And so really it required entering into a way of thinking that was so different from the way of thinking that's been inculcated in me as someone who's a product of a Western education. And I just, in all honesty, didn't feel that I had the authority.
But it is a kind of fascinating thing, isn't it? Because one of the big questions of modern mm-hmm. society is this debate about science and religion, how they fit together,
yes.
in what ways one opposes the other, in what ways they can move together. And the Ramanujan you've created in The Indian Clerk doesn't seem to have that divide. Religion
no,
and
not
math
at all.
Fit integrally together.
They fit beautifully. And there are a lot of different ways to explain that. Did Ramanujan actually have dreams in which formulae and equations magically appeared? Very probably he did. Were those dreams provoked by a goddess? Who knows? That's a very mysterious question.
How important was he, do you think? He didn't live very long. And
Ramanujan?
Yeah.
I think he was hugely important on a number of levels. No, he did not live very long. He only lived into his early 30s. The work that he did as a mathematician continues to bear fruit. The notebooks that he left have become in and of themselves an area of study. So on a mathematical level, he's incredibly important. I think on a cultural level, he's also incredibly important. He was the first non-white fellow of Trinity College. He was the second non-white fellow of the London Mathematical Society and the Royal Society, which was a big deal in those years. He broke a lot of barriers. But also, I think for Indians and Westerners alike, the story of his life, the story of someone, in a sense, plucked out of one culture and dropped down in the middle of another one, is incredibly telling and incredibly resonant. And that's why the story continues to fascinate people so much.
That's David Levitt. His novel is called The Indian Clerk.